I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Goldenrod City Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle TCG Cast.
Hello, hello, Puckleonians, and welcome to episode 54 of the Puckle TCG Cast. I am your host, Lord Jishiro. Of course, Puckle stands for Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name our fearless leader Thatch came up with, and we are rolling with it. Hope you guys are doing well. A lot of things are going to happen soon. We are reaching the end of the season for the TCG Cast, only leaving, focusing on the North American International Championships, and later on with the World Championships happening in August. Now, with me today, I got two amazing TCG players with me, champions in their own right. So let's start with some say that he can catch a cutiefly with one chopstick. It's Sublime Manic.
See, the secret is you break the chopstick in half, and then you technically have more than one thing to grab it with, but it's one chopstick. Hello! Hi. How's everyone doing?
And with us today, a very special guest, Champion! The 2018, wow, I already put you champion next year too. 2018 Puckle TCG champion, our boy. Some say he is the only person that can punch a Dusclops between the eye. It's D-Babs.
Hello, hello. I'm happy to be on again. Well, I was on Game Corner, so I'm happy to be
back. Yeah, weren't we on the same team?
Yeah, we were, and we killed
it. And we won. Exactly. Winners.
So I'm glad to be back with Sublime, and it's going to be fun.
Great to have you here, guys. So today we got a...
Sorry. Oh. Side note, we beat Jishiro. Okay. All right.
It's fine. I'll get you today in Pokemon 15 questions.
Okay, probably.
So, lots of news. Somewhat. We got two sets coming in, right? We got Celestian Storm, we're going to talk about in our news section. Plus, we do have Dragon Majesty, which we'll talk a little bit about. Also, our topic, of course, is Victory Road towards North America International Championship happening this weekend. You're listening to this on Thursday. This weekend starts the championship. It's going to be very exciting. Cannot wait to miss, not miss the stream. I'm saying I can't wait to miss the stream. and we'll definitely tackle that a little bit. But before we do all of that, let's break the ice a little bit and talk about all things Pokemon. Sublime, what have you been up to Pokemon or non-Pokemon wise?
I haven't been up to a lot Pokemon wise, aside from podcast related things and Pogo things.
Yeah,
it's just been a really busy month for me personally. But next month is much more open, so I'm hoping to do a lot more Pokemon next month.
Oh yeah, no, I'm full-blown addicted to Pokemon Go again. It's ridiculous. I cannot put it down. Duly Noted, shout out to Duly Noted, was asking for my friend's code, and I'm like, oh yeah, so I log on to Pokemon Go, and there was a Roselia right here in my apartment, and I'm like, oh my god. So I didn't have Roselia up till now, so fun fact. What about you, D-Babs? What have you been up to?
Well, part of the reason why it took so long to get this interview going and get me on the show is because I just got married. So I won the tournament, and then like that week I got married and then went on honeymoon, and it's been a crazy whirlwind, but I love it. I love being married. It's fantastic.
It's all been winning for you this past month. So
it's just been winning. So, I haven't done a ton TCG related, but I've been, you know, listening and following streams. And so I'm still kind of up on the meta, and also, you know, obviously listening to the TCG cast. Yeah. Not going to miss that.
Of course. And your knowledge and experience is well welcome here to Counteract Mine. Now. Now, let's go ahead we forgot myself. So, I've been back in Pokemon Go, as I said, been playing a lot of that. I started playing once more Conquest, because I started playing, Fire Emblem Heroes again, the app.
Awesome.
Yep, and right, and I've been talking to Sublime and R Sigma about it, and they've been helping me build my team in Fire Emblem Heroes. And I'm like, oh, now I really want to play more strategy games. So I tap back into Pokemon Conquest. Man, that game is so good. I am so, what's the word, disappointed that was a one thing that's it, right? Instead of having, like, this is something they should have done. Like a mini, like Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. Give me one every 3 or 4 years, right? And unfortunately, that's not the case. So it's sad, but it's not totally bad. We still have Conquest, so we can always go back and enjoy that. Now, let's go ahead. That's enough of our introduction. Let's go ahead and move to the news.
Live from the Goldenrod City Tower, it's time for Puckle News.
We are back to the news section. A couple of things we want to talk about. So since, as I've always repeated in this show, TCG never rests, we have the new sets coming on. Of course, Celestial Storm. It's headed our way. Pre-release tournament starts July 21st through the 29th. And it was revealed, the promos that you will be encountering in the pre-releases. And we wanted to go through them real quick and maybe give some recommendations of what you guys should aim for to get on this magnificent pre-release that we're going to have soon enough. So let's go ahead and start with them. Now, we got 4 different cards that are going to be the promo. We got Kyogre. We got Magnetric. I don't know how I pronounce that there. We got Celesteela and Delcati. So let's go ahead. I'll start with the first one here. Our boy Kyogre, Water, Basic, 130. This is not a GX card. It's a baby Kyogre. Right now, it has 2 attacks. It is Dual Splash for 1 water, 1 colorless. It does 30 damage to 2 of your opponent's Pokemon, which is actually not half bad. And then we have the 3-1, which is 2 water, 1 colorless, Grand Wave, 120. This Pokemon can't use Grand Wave during its next turn. So quite a decent card in my personal opinion. It goes well with Greninja right now. So I kind of like it. How about you guys?
I personally think for pre-release, it could be decent. I mean, they all look pretty decent for pre-release. And I mean, I don't think it really would carry much beyond that, but... it's a nice looking card, cool artwork, and pre-release, it can work.
And Greninja GX Latios is actually going rounds around there that it's doing some damage. So I think this is a good, although the benefit of having Latios is it's a different type of type.
Attacks for DCE.
Attacks for a DCE, but it could be an option for those guys. So moving on to the next one, Sublime, what does Manectric do?
Yeah, Manectric's one of your favorite Pokemon, as I recall. So it's a stage 110 HP electric type, of course. It has the ability Electric Start. If you go second and this Pokemon is in your hand, when you are setting up to play, you may put it face down as your active starter Pokemon or on your bench. And it has just 1 attack, double charge, does 40 damage, only costs 1 lightning energy. You may attach up to 2 basic energy cards from your hand to one of your benched Pokemon.
I really like my boy Manectric. It reminds me of a Talonflame, except of course in the part of where it belongs in.
Can your, just start right
as a stage as a basic being a different stage Pokemon.
And no retreat cost, too.
And no retreat cost, and the attack lets you put 2 damage, so its acceleration is really good. And honestly, you can always, almost always choose to be second, because people who play, right, and get heads and they get to choose will almost always choose first.
Right.
Unless they're playing this card. And then if you get to choose, you will always choose second as well.
Right. So it does incentivize it a bit, which is
exactly. It's incentivized you to play second, which I think it's 40 damage for 1 lightning. For, you know, it's really up there. I really like it. I don't know. I really like it. Should we look for this in the pre-release to play in a pre-release? No, I don't think so. But at least I really like the card. Moving on. Celesteela. Take it away, D-Babs.
Celesteela. It is, of course, a steel type. And it is... it's an Ultra Beast, so that's pretty interesting. It's got 140 HP, pretty beefy for a basic. And it has just 1 attack, which has a ridiculous energy cost on face value. 1 metal and 4, count them, 4 colorless. And Moonraker does 160, so definitely hits hard. Mm-hmm. But the interesting flavor text is, if the total of both players' remaining prize cards is exactly 6, this attack can be used for just 1 metal.
Interesting.
So it's definitely interesting. I mean, how often is that going to work in a pre-release? Well, Sublime was mentioning earlier before we got started recording. I mean, you can set up 6 or 5 energy on an attacker in a pre-release sometimes. You know, it could be viable. And, you know, I mean, attacking 1 for 160 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Seems more promising than that Tyranitar pre-release.
Shut up. That Tyranitar is beautiful. Hashtag no regrets. Now, we're going to go ahead and now cover the last one, which is probably going to get the vote from all of us here as pre-release cards you should look forward to play in a pre-release. And that's Dokkari. Dokkari is a colorless for just 90 HP, stage 1 from Skitty. Pretty weak, right? It's weak to fighting, which being a colorless, that's normal. And the fact that, you know, it doesn't help right now with such a very strong fighting meta. However, for pre-release, you do have its ability, and its ability is fantastic. Search for friends. When you play this card from your hand to evolve a Pokemon during your turn, you may put 2 supporter cards from your discard pile into your hand. So it's basically playing a
Lusamine?
Thank you, Lusamine, but as an evolution.
Or it's like playing 2 VS Seekers.
Or 2 VS Seekers, right? Or playing the Puzzle of Time, 2 Puzzle of Times, only for supporters, of course, because Puzzle of Time lets you grab anything. So
not like it at all.
Well, you get my meaning, yes. Power-wise, right, and what it does. However... I really like this card as a pre-release card. What do you think, Sublime?
It's a good pre-release card if there are any freebie supporters.
Yeah, if you're playing Subrotus, yes.
Yeah. I actually think this could see play down the line in Standard if there's any way Buzzwall can like drop down just a little bit. Yeah. Because getting back supporters is huge. I mean, think about, we used to play 4 VS Seeker. You still do an expanded and getting an extra Kuzma, getting an extra, you know, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it could be big for like stall decks, getting like extra flare grunts. I mean, it could be good.
Yeah, and this is a card that allows you to get a supporter card immediately from your discard pile into your hand,
right.
And you'll be able to use it, right? Which is difficult. Right. You usually won't be able to do that unless you're playing Puzzle of Time, again, because it's an item and not a supporter. So.
Mm-hmm.
I really do like this card. And I think my vote goes to this one. If you guys are looking for a good card to play and you're lucky enough to end up with a Dokkari, definitely, and you have supporters that you draw upon your boosters, then definitely the Dokkari is the card that you should be playing for sure. That's at least my... what about you, D-Babs?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's probably... maybe the best card out of all 4 of these. And I think the Manectric also very interesting.
Yeah.
Again, you know, fighting weakness, not great. Mm-hmm. I actually think for pre-release, I'm gonna take the contrarian view. I'm gonna say for pre-release, I think Kyogre might be the best. Like,
I concur.
Spread damage and 120 is not bad. You're not gonna be trying to hit more than 120 very often. And
in a pre-release, yeah.
In a pre-release, just specifically for pre-release. And, like, it's a basic with a good amount of HP. I don't know. I think it's definitely has some potential.
I think it depends on what other cards you draw, right?
Right.
Delcati, I would say, is the most versatile because it is a colorless, right? So you can splash that no matter what you pull. But I would say the other ones are probably more useful if you get cards to, like, support them specifically.
Yeah. Right.
Like, if you're going to run that energy type, then go with the other ones. Otherwise, Delcati is probably the most versatile useful.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
There we go. Then that's the... And I concur with you guys 100%. You guys convinced me on Kyogre. If you got Kyogre and you got more water support that you've drawn apart, then go for Kyogre because it's the powerhouse of the four.
That said, I think it's the worst card out of all four in standard.
No, yeah, exactly. It has no, yeah, no bearings whatsoever in top competitive play. Okay, so there you go, guys. Let's go on, move on to the next piece of news. This one, take it away, Sublime.
Okay, so we have a Latias and Latios promo from the Dragon Majesty set. As pin collections, you can get those separately, one for Latias and one for Latios, because why buy one when you can buy two, has been Pokemon's statement since they started. Right, so the Latias, we know it has 110 HP. It's a dragon type with a first attack called Hypno Bomb for two colorless energy, which does 30 damage and your opponent's active Pokemon becomes asleep. For a fire and a psychic, I think, and a colorless, it has Mist Ball, which does 110. The effect is currently unknown, but previous Mist Balls have required Latias to discard two energy. So maybe it's discard two energy, which would be terrible.
Yes, it would be.
Weakness to Fairy, no resistance. We don't know its retreat cost as of yet. Latios has 120 HP. First attack is called Energy Extraction for a colorless. Does 20 damage, and then search your deck for a basic energy card and attach it to this Pokemon, then shuffle your deck. Its second attack does 140 damage. We don't know the name of it because it's covered, but it's for a water, a psychic, and a colorless. Effect currently unknown, but since Latios had Mist Ball, it could be Luster Purge, which would presumably require Latios to discard all the energy to attack, which would also be bad. Yeah. So... is that weak to fairy?
So all in all, you can skip these. At least
unless
if
you like pins.
Unless you really love the Latios twins.
Yeah. So, but they are arriving. Do we have a date for this? When are they going to be arriving on our side? I don't think there's a date yet. At least if I'm not mistaken.
September 7th.
Okay, there you go. So this is an Dragon Majesty is an in-between set that is coming right after Celestial Storms. So,
but will it make dragons good?
That's the question.
Will it make dragons good?
That's the question we still don't know. But
if it
pushing...
gives us double dragon, if it gave us double dragon, I'd be thrilled.
I think that's the huge thing, right?
Yeah. If we could just have double dragon for Ultra Necrozma, we would be set.
Yep. Yes, we would. And I really do hope it brings it back. Because I feel that that card never made it. It just died too young before it actually made its impact. And it was a great card and it could have made Dragon powerful. But it just never concurred with a great Dragon deck at the time.
I mean, there were a few
Giratina.
Little spikes.
Yeah, Giratina was one that was actually good. But it never actually made it, you know, big league. You know, not like Greninja Break.
Okay.
Now, let's go ahead and move on to the next piece of news. Like I said, so we don't know still Dragon Majesty how it's going to impact. I know it's going to push it through everything. Your mouth, your ears, it's just Dragon Majesty because we have another box. D-Bab, take it away.
All right, this one is called the Dragon Majesty Supreme Powers Collection. I feel like I've heard that kind of name before. It should be coming out in fall, so that's pretty cool. And it's going to have rainbow rares. It's going to have a jumbo rainbow rare of Dragonite GX. And it's also going to come with rainbow rare, the actual cards for Kingdra GX and Dragonite GX. So that's pretty cool. It's apparently it's kind of similar to, you know, like the Hoenn GX box that came out for Shining Legends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always nice for collectors to have this type of thing. These big boxes that have got, you know, rainbow rares that probably help complete sets and stuff like that. And it also is going to come with some packs. Looks like 8, 7-ish packs. We don't know for sure.
Yeah, usually they bring 8, I think.
Right, I would think 8, but yeah, it looks like at least 8. So that's pretty cool. Always nice to get some packs. And I'm just going to go over what these cards are. So Dragonite GX, of course, like all GXs, it actually evolves. So it does evolve from Dragonair. It's got 250 HP, which is monster. I mean, that's amazing. No one can say that's bad. First attack for a Lightning, Dragon Claw does 70. So that's decent. Then for a Water, Lightning, and two colorless, Giga Impact does 200 damage, and it can't be you can't attack during your next turn. At least this Pokemon can't attack, so you'd have to Guzma or something out of it.
How they're making really powerful attacks always be you can't use it twice in a row. So you gotta like, and that's totally in response to the EX era. When you would set up Pokemon and then they would constantly be hitting every turn for 200. How do you expect someone to recover from that if you're every turn hitting for 200?
Right. It seems fair.
Yeah, it's way more fair. Continue on.
Then we have the GX attack, Dragon Porter GX. And it says, is that Dragon, I think? Yeah, put 3 Dragon Pokemon from your discard pile onto your bench. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously interesting because it doesn't say basic, it just says 3 Dragon Pokemon. So you could put 3 more Dragonite GX. I don't know. Did we talk? Was this mentioned on the podcast earlier? I can't remember.
Which one?
But yeah, definitely an interesting attack. Like, I don't know if it's worth it to get it out to do that, but it could be. Could be.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, if you're spending all this time powering up this to be a stage 2, going through the whole Shibaba, either you say Rare Candy or the Stage 1, to bring more dragons on, it seems like not really worth it.
I mean, you'd have to have some really good, Stage 2 dragons.
Ones or Stage 2 dragons, right? And it's like, you have to make sure they're in the discard pile, and I just don't know.
It reminds me of, what was the fire Pokemon that did that? Ho-Oh GX?
Ho-Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that is not seen any play for that attack.
Not at all.
But I mean, definitely the Giga Impact is interesting. Yeah. 200 damage is nothing to laugh at. Okay, then we have Kingdra GX, and it's got 230 HP. It is a water type, and pretty big HP there. Again, 230 is big. And it has Hydro Pump for a colorless. It does 10+ damage, 10+50 for each water energy attached to this Pokemon. We've seen this type of attack before.
Yeah. And it's quite substantial. I mean, 50 for each one.
Yeah, if you could stack up.
You're hitting for 150 plus a choice band, which gives you 30 more against GX and EX. That's 180. That can knock out stage 1 GXs.
Yeah, so for 3, you're doing 10+150. So that's, 160, in choice band 190. That's kind of the big number right now with Buzzwall going around. So, I mean, it could see play. Mm-hmm. Again, it is a stage 2, a little tough to get into play. Then the other attacks, Reverse Thrust for a water, does 30 damage and you switch with one of your bench Pokemon. Not very exciting. No. But the GX attack, let's take a look at this one, Maelstrom GX. This attack does 40 damage to each of your opponent's Pokemon. We've seen attacks like this before, like Boom Burst GX, which I think actually did 50 to each.
It did 50, yeah.
But this is just one water energy, so I mean, it's a cheap attack. You can do a lot of damage for sure. So definitely interesting, but it's got that grass weakness because it's actually water.
Yes, and which is a problem. Now, I do like the direction they're going with water. Now, it's kind of like a sniping type. We've seen Kyogre, obvious Greninja. The Greninja line are sniping cards.
Right,
we got
right.
the Kyogre. Now we got this.
Tapu Fiend.
Tapu Fiend is another sniping card. It's really hitting on sniping using water, and I can't say I don't love that. So
I like it for sure.
Yeah, so keep on going with that direction, the water, because it's awesome. Okay, so that ends up our news section. We're going to move on to Topical Beach. So grab your towels and your flip-flops because we're headed to Topical Beach.
grab your ice-cold Corsola Cola and pull up a chair. It's time for Tropical Beach.
And we are back. Welcome to Tropical Beach. You can feel the sand under your feet, the wind in your face, and the sun in your eyes. Tropical Beach is here. We're going to talk about tournaments again, but slightly differently. First, we are going to talk about DBAP's experience in the Puckle tournament real quick and all the insight that he is ready to give us and tips on how to prepare and participate. Afterwards, we're going to tackle the road, victory road to international, North America International, and cover what we expect to see and maybe what could win. So without further ado, DBAPS, talk about the Pokemon TCG, the Puckle TCG tournament.
Yeah, so the Puckle tournament, we had an episode about it, and it was really awesome. I really enjoyed the tournament. I think, if anything, I just had some kind of, like, I had a weird start because my first round opponent didn't we couldn't get it to work out, so we had to draw our first round. So I was like, oh, dear, this could be bad. And then my second round opponent didn't respond at all. So I got like a win and a tie without doing anything. Yeah. So that was kind of disappointing because I was like, I really want to test this out. I really want to play against, you know, the people in the community. And so it didn't really work out. That was a little bit of a bummer. But yeah, I mean, once we got into round three, things got heated up real quick. And that's partially because of the deck I was playing against.
That was my question.
Right. So I was playing against, I was playing Vikavolt Bulu. And I really liked this deck for this tournament because I felt like just power and, you know, some people don't say it's consistent, but I think my build's somewhat consistent. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, I could probably just like take out most people if they're trying to do something fancy, because I'm not doing too much fancy. You set up a stage two and then you probably blow everything up. And so that said, I think it was round three. I'm trying to remember if it was round three or round four, but I think it was round three that I played against a Ho-Oh deck, like a Fire Ho-Oh Volcanion deck.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I mean, good thing Boo is not weak, doesn't have a weakness. So I wasn't worried about the weakness.
But it does one hit KO you.
Right. So it can one hit KO me turn two really easily. And that's a little scary, for sure, a little scary. And That matchup was interesting. It was definitely really interesting. I think it did go to three games. And, the biggest surprise was I was like, oh, okay, I'm fine. He's got a Volcanion, like a baby Volcanion with three energy on it. He'll hit me for, you know, 100 damage. I'll be fine. Then all of a sudden, he throws down a Ninja Boy. And I'm like, goes into a hole, attaches an energy, and blows me up for, with the Phoenix Burn or whatever it's called.
The first time in recorded history where a Ninja Boy was used to success.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And it was like, oh my, I had to give him props because it was like, this is ridiculous that you actually pulled it off. And like, all of a sudden my setup was just torched. So that was kind of funny, but I was able to pull that one out. I mean, the good thing is I can hit everything. Like, I can knock everything out. I had three Field Blowers because I was worried about Garb. So, like, all the Fighting Fury Belts didn't bother me. I was able to just, you know, knock those things out of the park. Yeah, so once you set up Vikavolt, as long as it doesn't get knocked out, you're just powering up your Bulus and you're good to go. I had Octillery for draw, which was really nice as well. So then going into round four, I think it was round four. I'm not sure if I got three and four mixed up, but I played against like this crazy weird spread deck. But I was actually worried at first because when I saw the typings, it was like lightning and dark. And I was like, oh no, it's going to be a Hoopa deck. I was worried about quad Hoopa. And I was like, shoot, that's going to be bad because, I mean, I have like outs. Like I can use Charjabug. I can use Spikevolt. But it's like Vikavolt discards a ton of energy, so it's like it's dangerous, right? But I have options. But I was like, this is gonna be like a long series. But then it ends up being like this crazy Honchkrow Zoroark. What else was in it? Something
else. Was your opponent 10 Little Man or?
Yeah, I think so.
The really V.
Yeah, I think the really V was the fire deck. And, he did well, for sure. I think it was, it might have been 10 Little Men, and it was crazy. is I had no clue what to expect, and it's like there's all the spread damage going on, and I think the lightning was probably like a Coco, and it was just like, what is going on? But he had a lot of struggle setting up the first game, and I think also the second or third game. So it was like, unfortunately, his strategy just didn't get set up because mine was more consistent. But I think the deck idea was really cool and like one of the more creative decks for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the final was, well, that was quite a show. I was just watching the replay of it because I did record it and post to the Puckle chat in Discord. I posted the commentary video of it.
You do have a video YouTube channel, don't you?
I do have a somewhat defunct YouTube channel, but you can check it out if you want.
Go ahead and plug it in.
Yeah, Pokebabs, that's it. It's pretty straightforward. So the final was like really intense. So just a little bit about my list. Mm-hmm. I have 313 Vikavolt, 3 Bulu, and then I have 1 Tapu Koko GX, which like I think people had in the really early lists of Bulu.
Yes.
They stopped putting it in because they were like, Bulu's better. We can just use Nature's...
Nothing really merits nothing really impactful is weak to Lightning. So typing itself doesn't really add much to the deck.
So I didn't.
And you have Vikavolt, which is also Lightning, so you're not really covering any bases there.
Right. I didn't care about that at all. The only thing I cared about was Tapu Thunder GX. So it does 50 times the amount of energy that your opponent has on field.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have zero chance against Guardi unless I have this in. Mm-hmm. I have zero chance because...
That makes total sense, yeah.
When I put energy on, it just like... I get blown up. So I have to discard energy every time, but they can still knock me out with 5 energy and a choice band. So 5 energy plus choice band does 180, right? Even if I have no energy on me. And I mean, Guardi can get 5 energy. That's not hard. So the other issue is I can't hit 230. So I'm just sitting there poking with, you know, Nature's Judgment for 180, and it doesn't help.
Yeah, the best you can do is 210, and it still won't knock out.
Exactly. So I'm thinking like,
and that's using choice band for the people listening.
Right, and I was using choice band, but I didn't want to put in a Kukui because that just is so situational.
Mm-hmm.
So and I had so I've got the 2/2 Octillery, and then but the main thing was having that Tapu Koko GX, and it was really important because. I go up against Zoroark Guardi in the final, and as you already know, and honestly, I think it's a horrible matchup. Like, I think it should be really, really, really bad, but I had tested it a little bit, and I had beaten it before because of Tapu Koko, as long as you can surprise them with the Tapu Koko.
Yeah.
So, game one, I started with a Lele, and I was like, oh, come on. Why Lele? And I think... I can't remember. I think I was going first, though. I can't remember if I was going first or second, but I start with the Lele, and I'm just like, oh, why? I only play 2 Lele, and I'm like, there's so many. Like, every other starter is better, you know? 3 Bulu, 3 Grubbin, 2 Remoraid. Even the Tapu Koko, I'd rather start with, but I start with Lele. So because I only have 2, then I can only search for a supporter once. So I'm like, oh, shoot, this is bad. But, he struggled to set up, and I was able to, like, take a few knockouts with Bulu, but I was like always having to clear all my energy off because I'm worried about Guardi coming in. And then that way, if the Guardi has 5 energy and can one hit me with 5 energy and a choice band, then I can come with Coco and I can do 250. So it was all about like trying to set up the perfect time for that. And then it came down to the last turn and I had like almost nothing on. I had a Vikavolt set up, but not a whole lot on board. Uh-huh. And I had 1 Vikavolt and 1 like 1 Grubbin. And I needed to set up like a 2 Vikavolt or get like the Tapu Koko GX to come in to be able to get the knockout. Because he took a knockout with 5 energy and a choice band. And I was like, shoot.
That's...
Well, actually, I think he used 6 energy and a choice band, which ended up being really important. Because if he would have used 5, it would have been different. So I actually came in with a Lele, attached 4 energy and a choice band, and did 230 with a Lele.
Wow. Okay.
Because I came out of nowhere and I attached 4 energy with 2 Vikavolts.
Wow.
So I was able to hide.
With a Lele. I don't think I've ever knocked out anything with a Lele.
Yeah. And not only did I knock it out, I knocked out a Gardevoir GX that was clean. So it was just insane. It was just ridiculous. I was thinking, like, I have to use Coco. And then I thought, wait a second. I was counting all the energy. I was like, wait, I could actually knock this thing out with Lele. And then I can hide the secret about having the Coco. So he didn't know about the Coco after game one, which was really important because I did win game one. Then going to game two, we actually both got really good starts. Like, we both got our Bridget starts, threw down our Pokemon, got everything set up. He just got set up better than me, and he was drawing well. I mean, he has Zoroark, so of course he's going to draw well. And neither of us, we kind of had that, like, draw, like we're just trying to draw into the Guzma kind of thing at the end of the game. But he did beat me in game two in a really tight one as well. So then going into game three, I'm like, well, at least I go first, right? I have a good chance. I go first. I know. Like, I unfortunately had to reveal the Coco in game two, and then I lost. So that was kind of lame. Aww. But I had a feeling it was going to be important for game three.
Yeah.
So game three.
Probably he's not thinking about his GX attack. He's thinking about the ability and its attack. He's not really focusing too much on that.
Oh, right. And the ability is important because that way I can attach, like, an energy to a Vikavolt, a lightning energy. And then when I put down the Tapu Koko, it goes to the active and attaches and it moves the energy, the lightning energy, on your board. So, like, if you have a lightning anywhere on the board, all you need is the Koko and then a Vikavolt.
Yeah, that's the best thing about Koko is the ability to just ninja attack.
Yeah, super surprise attack. Yeah. And that's what I really loved about it. And I think it's just super underrated in this deck because people are like, well, Bulu's not good because you can't hit over 210. Mm-hmm. That's not true. That's not true. I also played, like, Mallow Octillery, which I played a one of Mallow, which I thought was, like, a little spicy. Yeah. But, like, it's kind of like the same idea as Mallow and Zoroark.
Where you, like,
you Mallow, you get the two cards you want. So I was able during the tournament to set up, like, Vikavolts by Mallowing for Rare Candy Vikavolt and then Octillery Abyssal Hand into cards.
I'm going to steal your idea for the stream. I'm going to modify my Vikavolt Bulu and add a nice Octillery line on that for sure.
Yeah, I have two Octillery. It's really nice. It's super nice because otherwise your draw is bad. And I needed to play the Field Blower, though. I was so glad I didn't run into Grimmscore because he had Espeon Garb, and I was like,
oh,
I do not.
Yeah,
I was so worried about Espeon Garb because of him and winning last year and everything.
Yeah.
So then going to game three, I start Lele again. It's like, why? Why do I have to start Lele?
Punishing me for.
It was brutal. And so I started the two Lele, I started the one Lele, but I was able to get my Bridget and set up, like, it was ridiculous. I would, like, Cynthia into the Rare Candy Vikavolt. Like, it was dumb. And I felt bad because it was setting up so well. But, like, sometimes the deck just runs that way.
You don't feel bad when you're winning. You're winning. Unless you're cheating, then you should feel bad.
Right. So
you can't cheat online.
You can't cheat online. That's the nice thing, right? I was also playing a heavy ball. So, like, I had four Ultra Ball and one heavy ball. I would play two if I could because it's nice to be able to get Bulus and Vikavolts and the Charjabug. So I played the one Charjabug, which is super nice when you're trying to set up two Vikavolt. So that was cool. But yeah, game three was, like, super intense. It was awesome. I would encourage you guys to check out the video if you want to see. I'm commentating it, and it was pretty fun. Like, again, it was another
one of those. Give me the link, and I'll make sure that it's in the description box for this. So for this episode, so guys, if you want to see the final round against Beaver Lab, D-Babs and versus Beaver Lab, go ahead and check the link. It's going to be in the description bar on this description for this podcast. Continue on.
Yeah, so game three, I don't know. I guess it wasn't that close. Like, I was ahead most of it, but it was kind of ridiculous. Like, I got my Bulu turn two, and he had, like, a Zerua active or something.
Yeah.
And so I had to use Nature's Judgment, and I discarded all my energy to do 180 because I didn't want to get knocked out by a Guardian the next turn. So then he brings up a Ralts, and then I get another Nature's Judgment, 180, and I knock off all the energy. So I already have, like, six energy in the discard pile. It was ridiculous. So I'm just, like, blowing through all my energy, but I know I can't risk getting one hit.
Yeah.
So
you can't risk that Gardevoir to show up.
Right. And then once he shows up, it's like, if I don't have a way of getting into... Well, if I had three energy on it, it's, like, super easy to knock me out, right? He just needs three energy on a Guardi. So I And then if he only has three energy on board, I can't come in with Coco. So I have to I have to force him to use five energy on board for Coco to be good. So then I came in with a Bulu, or I came in with like Coco or Bulu, and like, you know, blew him up for like 300 damage or something. And I was ahead like 6-2 prizes. And oh, there's a car.
Oh, yeah. That's on my end.
Oh, no worries. I'm not even going to edit that out. That was a major room.
Yeah.
I live by right next to a busy street, so on the corner, you know, so.
I was just like searching for the Guzma. Where's the Guzma? Where's the Guzma? I like Skylid for a Guzma, and then he end me, of course. And then the final bit, he like end me, and he end me in to one card N, and he end me into Guzma. But I did have Octillery still. Like, I probably could have drawn into it. I had, you know, a pretty thin deck and two Guzma left. But it was still, like, super good match. Like, I know that he's probably not happy about how he drew on the final match. But, like, the first two games, really close. Like, you know, could have gone either way. And it was fantastic. And then the prize support, you guys are amazing. What was it, 72 packs, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, it's just insane. You don't get that prize support anywhere else. I just want to encourage people. Like, they're so generous, and I appreciate it. I got another Full Art Lele. Well, I, like, upgraded to a Full Art Lele, and I got a bunch of Full Art supporters with my packs. So it was fun.
That's amazing. So, yeah, so like we said when Bibirla was on, that was because people turn up, right? The more people sign up, the bigger the prizes are. That's how we choose to use our Puckle money. Like we've always said, those are you that are Patreon. You are supporting Puckle. Every single cent that you guys do goes to Puckle. We do not get paid. Not even Thatch gets paid. Every single cent goes back to the community. So the more people participate in tournaments, the bigger we can claim. Since we had a full blown 24, that's a legit official tournament size amount.
Oh yeah,
right. So yeah. In local tournaments, of course, not considering what's it called, regional tournaments and international tournaments, of course. But
that would be like a decent sized league cup. You know what I mean?
Exactly, it's a decent sized like local like. All your friends show up in that local city to play type of thing. So that allowed us to like consider, yeah, we can spend more money because it was big. So for the next tournament, guys, it's free. We don't charge you guys. As long as you're a Puckle member, and you don't have to be active in Discord. Do not worry. Go in, participate, and you will get prizes if you win. And not only if you win, you get prizes even for participating because our boy, oh, what's his gate? Domobot, I think it's called, right? He got Domogod also prizes, and he didn't win. He just makes sure to participate every single day, and you get also a prize. So he got like 30 or 40 boosters just for participating or something like that. So thank you for saying that. We encourage everyone. Like I've notified you before, we are planning a theme deck, which should be even more people should be joining in because theme decks are choose a theme deck and play with that theme deck. You don't need to alter it or any. In fact, it's illegal to alter it under the rules because it's just the theme deck as it is. So soon around October, we're going to have a second tournament for them for the year, and that's going to be the theme deck. Everyone's welcome to join. All you need to participate is having a theme deck in your Pokemon PTCGO, your Pokemon trading card game online. And then you're ready to participate and register for it. B-Dabs, that was an amazing rundown of your experience. I really, really enjoy it. It was fun to listen to. So thank you for that. And thank you for participating. And once again, congratulations for being the Puckle TCG champion for 2018.
Thank you so much. And I really also, I mean, like, even if you're not involved in the Discord, you'll end up being involved in the Discord if you join in the tournament. Like, people are posting there. You'll have a lot of fun. People are, like, talking about decks and, like, it's just...
Trading,
it's,
if you like trading, for cards.
Right. If you like TCG online, you'll enjoy the Discord chat for sure.
Awesome. Now, we're going to move on from the local, or the Puckle local tournaments into the more official international tournaments that are happening. We are on the verge of the North America International Championships. So let's go ahead and discuss a little bit about that. We are, there's three decks that are going around that are really powerful. The meta is really interesting this time around. I feel that we have this cycle going on. This if you play this, you have to worry about that. But if you play that, you have to worry about that other thing, and that other thing has to worry about that first thing that we talked about.
Rock, paper, scissors format.
Like the starters, yes, which I actually love. So I want to be able to talk about that a little bit coming into the tournament that we are heading. Now, there's a few, the North America International Championship is basically the new version of the national tournament. And that's happening through the weekend after the 4th of July, which is obviously this weekend, if you're listening to this on Thursday. And let's talk about what we're expecting to see. Now, we already know what's the three major decks that are around, right? That's anything including Buzzwold, GX, anything including Malamar, and anything including Greninja Break. No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Oh, stop. Come on.
Anything including Sodorak GX.
And those things can be like mixed, intermingled, right? Like you can do Buzzwole mm-hmm. with Zoroark.
Yep. For sure. And you can do Buzzwole with Lycanroc. You can even do Lycanroc with
Zoroark.
With Sodorak. So it is very, a very really dynamic and strange meta. I don't know if we encountered this in the past, but right now it's pretty interesting. The fact that we have these three decks, which one beats the other. I feel it's the first time, at least since I've been covering the TCG, which is since 2015, if I'm not mistaken. The first time that I've seen that it's not the fact that we just have Night March as the number one tier, or we have, you know, things like that, or people are expecting, like when we have Gardevoir EX and stuff, people are expecting that deck to be the winner. We actually have a triad of decks that are good against the next. So how will that play out on the national floor, the international floor? I don't know, and this is why I have two experts with me. So, Brian, do you have any opinions of how the meta is and those three decks and how it's playing out?
Like, so we said Malamar, right? But there's a lot of, like, there's more than one choice for, like, what you include with Malamar. Mm-hmm. I think I would put my money on maybe Ultra Necrozma GX with Malamar. With Mysterious Treasure.
Well, yeah, because it is one of the best cards.
Because that's one of the best cards, right?
And there's no question about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, sure. Now.
And then if it wins, it'll prove. If it top cuts a few times, it'll prove Jashiro wrong big time.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's not hard, though. You don't
know. Oh, how big do you want your Murkrow this year?
Now, so you think that Ultra Necrozma has the advantage over regular Necrozma? Do you like to explain why?
I just think the damage output, the ceiling, there's no damage ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you use the Dawnwing's Necrozma, you have damage ceilings.
Yeah.
And
but what about
so you're
the
not...
regular Necrozma, though?
I don't like regular Necrozma. I've never liked regular Necrozma.
Okay, fair enough.
You can include it. I mean, sure, include it.
Yeah, I think Dawnwings is better for sure. But I like both. I like
to
both.
What? Wait.
I think that the Dawnwings is better than I actually like the psychic version. And like I like the full psychic version with like a Marshadow to take out Zoroark personally. But I think
Buzzwolds.
No, the Buzzwolves, yeah, I mean, no, the Marshadow is to take out Zoroark's.
Oh, the Marshadow, sorry, I was thinking you were talking about the Necrozma.
Right, the Necrozma is for Buzzwole, exactly, yeah. I like that one a little more, but I don't know, I mean, I think that the just regular Necrozma GX, like, I don't know, not so good anymore.
Okay.
Could be good, it has unlimited damage output as well, so.
Yeah, and it's psychic, which does well against Buzzwole.
Right.
Something that Ultra Necrozma isn't. Ultra Necrozma is just dragon, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But it don't matter, though, because it's still going one shot.
It doesn't really matter because the damage output. Now, for those of you at home that don't remember, it has Photon Geyser, its attack. It costs one psychic and one metal. Discard all psychic energy from this Pokemon, and this attack does 80 more damage for each of those, so it already does 20 base. Then you have one psychic, that's 100. You have two psychics, that's already 180. And then you have three psychics, and you're knocking out basically anything in the game. So it's a powerful card. Not to mention that it's a basic with 190 HP, which is 10 more than normal basic GX hold. So it's
and just with Malamar and your regular turn attachment, you can hit the 180 consistently, right? Mm-hmm. And then you slap on a choice band, that's 2010, right? Like, there's a lot you can, solidly hitting for those numbers.
Because then you can play Beast Energy, and you do 30 more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty ridiculous. You can do Beast Energy and two, and that does two and two metals, and that'll do 210, right?
Yeah.
Beast Energy is a prism, though.
Right, but you don't have to discard it, so it's true. Nice. Yeah.
So, my question does, though, Malamar is...
We've seen that card so many times.
Not only that, it's a weak card on your bench that is really easy to destroy, and we do have some counters to it. I mean, let's talk about the other decks that we're expecting to show up. What are you guys' overall opinion about Sotowark GX and how it will play on the international floor? Sublime, let's start with you. What's your opinion about Zoroark?
Zoroark is going to be there because Zoroark can fit in literally any other deck and it improves your consistency. So it's like it fits in all the archetypes just about, right? Like you can pair it with anything. Gives you card draw, gives you an option like dark coverage, gives you a like colorless attack. Why would you not? Like, you have to have a very good reason not to play Zoroark, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be, like, specifically not for that deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... Well, first of all, I think that the little rock, paper, scissors, like, it's a healthy one because it's more skill-based than some other ones. Like, when we had Vileplume and Night March and Greninja, like, it wasn't so skill-based, right? You get the Vileplume out, and you're just like, this is dumb. We don't get to play the game. So, or, like, Trevenant, you know? It was like, okay, great. You were able to wall me turn one. But here, it's like, you actually have to know what you're doing, you know, deal with different weaknesses. There's different psychic techs. So, I mean, I would definitely think whatever deck that does well, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it plays psychic techs. But I think it's, like, so hard to bet against Buzzwall right now. Like, not just the normal one, but with the baby Buzzwall. It's just...
Baby Wasp Buzzwall was... I already knew it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And we reviewed it well when we did the review. I wasn't expecting it to be as good as
Me neither.
It's so easy to have your opponent on... Or is it your opponent or yourself? I think it's your opponent, right?
Your opponent, yeah.
It's so easy to have your opponent on four prizes. You just have to knock out one GX or EX if they're still playing EXs. That it makes it so playable.
But then even after that, like, you still, because of all the fighting support, you can still do a ton of damage, you know what I mean, with just one energy. Yep. You have a strong energy, it does 30, then 50, choice band, 80, Diancie, 100. You can hit for 100 easy, even when you're at six prizes. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
So I think it's so it's hard to bet against it right now. And, like, Malamar... Yeah, it's good, but, like, it still has a hard time with one-prize attackers. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Also, Malamar has a big issue with Zoroark. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see Zoroark do well as well, because if you have the right, like, fighting Zoroark mix, I think you can take down anything, even, like, fighting decks.
Yeah. And even if you encounter them, like, Zoroark decks are including some psychics, just in case, such as Mew, the Fates Collides Mew. And other options that they can definitely use. So, which leads me to now consider, so based on Poke Beach and their tier system, I want to let you guys know. So PokeBeach.com has the tier list, and they have this as tier 1 and tier 2 Pokemon decks. We're going to cover them real quick. Tier 1 for Poke Beach are the Buzzwole, Baby Buzzwole, Buzzwole GX, and Lycanroc GX decks. The Buzzsaw GX Lycanroc GX is a tier 1. The Dungwiz Necrozma GX / Malamar is it's a tier 1. By the way, we haven't described what Malamar does for those listening. Malamar, its ability allows you to grab a psychic energy from your discard pile and put it onto one of your bench Pokemon. Then we have the
Ultimate Every Necrozma. Turn.
Every turn. Like, for every each Malamar. Turn.
Yeah.
Every Malamar you have. It's ridiculous. And then it reminds me of Bronzong.
It's the Bronzong. Yeah. Like, they've had it in multiple flavors.
Multiple Pokemon has played this. Yeah, we have that for Electra. We've had this for
I love that mechanic. Like, I would want to play Malamar even if I don't think it's the best deck.
One of the best things about Pokemon TCG is the fact that discard pile plays such a huge part of the game. It's been a long time since I've played Magic. Obviously, so maybe my opinions of Magic is really outdated, but one of the things about that really I love about Pokemon that Magic doesn't have is the fact that discard pile is just as an active part of the play as it is, as it's not is in Magic. When you put something into discard pile in Magic, by the time when I used to play Magic, there really wasn't many things you could do to get it back. Whilst in Pokemon, when you play things and go to the discard pile, there's so many options to bring it back and use it again. I love that dynamic that I feel that Magic did not have, at least when I used to play. I don't know if things have changed. And then there's the Tier 2 decks. Tier 2 decks are Sodorak Lycanroc GX. We got Sodorak Galissapod GX. We got, you can't deny it, guys, Greninja Break is actually factual. It's not even a joke. Part of the
Yes, it is a second rate tier deck, correct.
It's still better than the rest. And we have Buzzsaw GX Garbodor, which Garbodor's still going around in, which is my next question. What do you guys think that Garbodor is going to, what role is going to Garbodor play in this international championship? Let's start with Sublime. What do you think?
It's going to annoy all of the Malamar and Zoroark. That's it. That's all. It's just going to be annoying. Now you're going to get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. I totally think it's good. I think Garb is always good and will always be good for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's... I don't think it's going to pop up too much, but if it does, I do think it's like the tier list says. I think it's going to end up being in like a Buzzsaw Garb list. I think that's a pretty interesting deck, but I don't know if abilities are going to be as necessary, and you can always just Field Blower. So if people are, I think it just depends on how much Field Blower people are playing. I think for a while, Buzzwole players weren't playing Field Blower. Like, they're playing zero, and that's bad. Like that's dangerous. People can start getting your Fury Belts and Floatstones and stuff. So I think as long as you play, like... as long as you play one or two Field Blower, you have a chance against Garb decks, personally.
No, that sounds specific. So here comes the last question before we move on to our emails. What is your bet? Now, we're going to up the stakes here. I want to up the stakes because it's going to be fun. I want to make a bet. Whoever wins gets a booster card. So... who is your choice of deck that you think might actually win the International North America International Championship? Let's start with Sublime. Sublime, what's your number one pick?
My number one pick is... I'm going to go with Buzzwole / Zoroark.
Okay. Interesting. What's your reasoning behind that?
Because it gives you two of the, like we were talking about the triangle going on right now, like it gives you the dark to deal with the psychic, it's got the thing to punch the things in the face, and because it's using Buzzwole, it's not like super reliant on abilities. It's like, it's just like really solid. Those are both really solid cards.
For sure.
So, D-Babs, what is your bet?
When we started talking,
they're gonna get a booster card from me.
Okay, regardless. Cool.
So go ahead and put your choice.
At first, I was going to just say Buzzwole. I was like, oh, for sure. But the more we talked, the more I was like, I think Zoroark's gonna end up doing well. So I'm gonna go a little different than Sublime. I'm gonna go with Buzzwole, or not Buzzwole. I'm gonna go with Zoroark Lycanroc with psychic techs. I think that you have to have psychic techs. I think your people are going to be playing, like, I don't know, Latios or Mewtwo or something like that. I don't know which ones, but that's what I think probably is the best chance. I think it can beat... I think it can beat the Buzzwole decks because of the psychic techs, and I think that it can beat the Malamar decks because Malamar has a hard time knocking out Zoroark.
Yeah.
So that's... And it's consistent. Puzzles. It's ridiculous. You know? I mean, Mallow puzzles, all these crazy things you can do. I don't know. That's what I'm going with. That's what I'll settle on.
Okay. So I'm going to go be here and at my version. I think that Greninja Break is going to win.
And the groans were heard from the audience.
Stop. You had your moment however many years ago it was at this point where you came in second. You'll never be first place. Accept it. You came in second. Remember when you... Don't forget, you came in second with Talonflame, which you gave a not very effective, just to remind everyone. But, like, that was the best run you're ever going to get. You don't have the tools to do that again. It's never going to happen.
Well, I'm going to stick to it. I'm really making Greninja Break my my deck. If it wins, I'm going to buy myself a whole box. yeah. So there you have it, guys. Those are the guesses, the bet that we settled here for the North America International Championships. Do not miss the streams. They're happening this weekend. Please go to Pokemon channel to view the streams. And we're definitely going to be discussing these streams on the Discord. So if you guys are not part of our Discord channel, please go ahead and do so. And as always, our link to our Discord channel will be available in our description box. Go ahead and join so you can add to the discussion. We'll be talking all about the streams and the international championship, what's going on there and everything. So expect us to be there and comment on it. I'm definitely going to be. Now, we're going to stop our topical beats here, and we're going to move on to deck of the episode, where you guys submit your decks and we choose which is the one that we like the most. So, we'll be right back.
Yo, it's your boy Guzma, and it's time to break down the deck of the episode.
And we are back in our section, deck of the episode, where you guys submit the deck you want to show up in our episode. Of course, this is a very general, universal segment. Everyone is allowed to send. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be able to send in a good deck that you think it's your favorite and why it's your favorite. Give it a name and we'll read it here and see what we do. See which one we choose as the deck of the episode. Your deck might actually appear on my stream, which is every Monday and sometimes in the weekends. So please go ahead and stay tuned for that. Well, let's go ahead and continue on to the email. So, Sublime, take us to the first
one. All right. Very excited to do that. So, what's up, TCG crew? Sorry for writing in so late. So, I want to talk about two things that the new Ditto Prism Star that's coming out in my deck of the episode. First, let's talk about this Ditto card that has a lot of potential. I mean, just the option to have a fifth basic or a floating basic is really nice. It will be a must-have for me.
Let's tell our audience. So, that's the new Prism Star Ditto that was revealed that it's going to show up eventually here.
Yes.
And
evolve into any stage one, basically.
It's basically any.
You can evolve it into anything that evolves from a basic.
Exactly. So that's
so in a deck with a lot of evolution lines, it's very versatile.
Yep.
I think it's a good card, yeah. It's a Prism Star also, so it's not like you're running four of them. All right, so I've been working with Noivern GX. Haven't had a lot of time to work on it. I really do think Noivern has potential after rotations, since people will be relying on item cards a lot more than supporters, and as of right now, only the fairy deck that is a threat from Gardevoir GX and Sylveon GX. And you don't see that too much right now because of Steel. So here's my deck name, next up to bat.
I like it.
I like it because it's got Noivern GX, which I'm a big believer in. Yeah. I support the underdog, yeah. P.S. I know it won't come out today, but my birthday was the 30th of June. Hey, that's the day recording.
Oh, that's we're recording. Happy birthday, yes, the happy real birthday. Happy birthday to one of our most dedicated and amazing members, definitely. My man, the real V, has been constantly on top of making sure your deck of the episodes on our Reddit. He's an active member of our community, and I really do appreciate and love him as a friend and as a member of the community. So everyone, on this Thursday when you're listening to this, shout out to the Real Levy in Discord. Tell him a happy birthday, even though if it's delayed. So yeah, continue on. Sorry.
Yeah. All right, so here's the deck list. It's got 4 Noibat, 3 Noivern GX, 4 Yveltal EX, and 2 Tapu Lele GX. Those are the only Pokemon. There's 13 total. Trainer cards are 3 Wally, 4 Choice Band, 4 Cynthia, 2 Professor's Letter, 3 Guzma, 2 N, 2 Kukui, 2 Sycamore. Wait, what? Didn't I say Sycamore already? No, I guess I didn't. That was Kukui. Mm-hmm. 1 Rescue Stretcher, 4 Ultra Balls, 3 Brigadis, 1 Energy Recycler, and 2 Lily. Yeah. Energy is 10, Darkness, 4 Psychic.
Interesting deck.
I'm here for it because I'm a big believer in anyone that's trying to do a Noivern GX item lock. Get your life. Live your life.
Noivern GX, for those of you at home that don't know, for 2 energies, I do not remember. It's Psychic.
And colorless and a dark. Colorless and a dark.
Colorless and a dark, and it does 50 damage, right?
Yes.
And locks your enemy, your opponent,
from playing items from their hand.
So it's a more powerful seismic toll quake punch.
It
can't be played with a double colorless energy. That's the difference.
And a side note, he's using the good Noibat that for 2 colorless energy, you discard all items in your opponent's hand. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Dbabs, what's your opinion on this deck?
I like it too. I really like Seismitoad, even though it's obnoxious. And Noivern GX, yeah, I think it's cool.
Did you play when Seismitoad and last what's it called? The team Blaze, team member, the leader. Oh my god, from Gen 6. Forgetting my names.
Chorus?
Okay, Lysander's trump card.
Oh, yeah. I did play then, but I didn't like it so much then.
Oh god, it was terrible.
It was so ridiculous.
And it was just so bad. It was never ending. Anyone, continue on, sorry.
Yeah, I think it's very cool. I like that he's using Professor's Letter because sometimes it's hard to get the psychic energy. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Lily is necessary, but I think it
looks like... I hate Lily.
It looks consistent. Like, the deck looks generally consistent, and I can't hate on that. Plus, he's playing Wally to try and get the, like...
Turn one,
which is pretty cool. Although, I think you maybe need to have some other energy acceleration.
Yeah,
you need a Max Elixir, then a Wally. It's kind of crazy to try and do both, but it's interesting, for sure.
Yeah. And Sublime, what about you?
I really like it. I would cut the Lily, and actually, I might cut the Yveltal EX, because that's just not up to par anymore.
It might be good to have a Dark Attack.
Putting in Zoroark DX, actually, could be your Dark Attacker, and, like, it's... There you go. Already running the same energy type. So
yeah.
And it increases your consistency because of the draw. So
yeah, you get rid of the Lilies, you get rid of the 4 Yveltal, and you can put in a 3-3 line.
There you go. That or gives you a second really good attacker.
Yeah, get rid of a couple Wallys, or maybe you want to play like Evo Soda instead of Wally so that you can get into your evolutions.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, let's move on to the next one. 10 Little Men. Take it away, Sublime.
I just went...
I'll do it.
take it away, D-Babs.
We wanted to take turns.
Yo, Jashiro, and whatever TCG-tastic co-hosts he has with him today. 10 Little Men has returned to give you some mailbag love. Before I sauce you with the spiciest deck this side of Janktown, I figured I would take a moment to give my take on the current state of the metagame. Honestly, I'm pretty happy the way the meta is at the moment. The dominance of the big 3 Buzzwall, Malamar, and Zoroark.
Yep.
As a cute rock, paper, scissors matchup is pretty fun and leaves room for spicy techs in the meta. I do like spicy techs as well. On the side note, the fact that there is still room for other rogue decks in Top Cut is also a nice change from the dumpster fire that was Drampagar meta. The meta is free enough to encourage innovation while still being centralized enough to provide direction, and I really like that. And who cares?
It's frustrating that Tellerman was able to summarize our whole episode in just one paragraph.
Very well done. But who cares about what the meta is? He doesn't care enough because he's got the hottest deck of the 21st century. Without further ado, I present to you Holocene Park. All right, so Holocene this is Park. A pretty interesting one. It's got a Bulbasaur line, and it is a 3-1-3. That is the Venusaur that has Jungle Totem, which means that the grass energies count as two. Then he has four Shining Genesect, three Pheromosa, not the GX, and three Tapu Lele for Pokemon. Then he's got, for trainers, two Fighting Fairy Belt, four B-String, so he's really trying to get those Pheromosa set up. And then, you know, maybe he moves the energy from the Shining Genesect, or using the Shining Genesect ability from a Pheromosa to Genesect to power it up. That would make sense. One Revitalizer to get back those Pokemon, four Rare Candy, one Professor Sycamore, two Aether Paradise Conservation Areas, two Super Rods, four Cynthia, four Guzma, four Max Elixir, two N, four Ultra Ball, and nine Grass Energy.
There we go. What do you think about this deck, Sublime? Sublime? I think you're muted, Sublime.
I was. Sorry, I'm muted. I was like, I'm saying, and then I'm like, oh, wait. I am here for the Shining Genesect Venusaur deck. I condone that.
Okay, you condone the Venusaur deck. Why do you like that?
I just really liked when that mini set came out, and I'm like, this is a cute little almost deck. I hope someone tries it.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone tried it.
I think it's cute. I think it's very cute. I like it. I like the Pheromosa add.
Something gets to use Aether Paradise Conservation area.
Right. It just seems like a fun deck. Like, it really does seem like fun.
Okay, so you have two votes for 10 Little Men here?
Is that correct? No. Oh. I like the deck, but I'm all for the bat. I'm here for the bats.
Okay. And the thing is, the only thing, so I feel like the bats, we did make some better improvements. And if the bats had those improvements, I would totally go for the bats list.
But that's part of it, though. It's about which is the deck you enjoy, even if with the improvement that you recommend.
Oh, well, if that's the case, I'm going to go with the Noivern because I really want people to try Noivern more, and I think it's cool, and I think that the deck idea is awesome. So I have to also go with the Real EV.
I'm glad you said that, because I was also going to the Real EV. Sorry, 10 Little Men, this time around.
Oh. I do like your deck, though, too, 10 Little Men.
Yes, it is a very awesome deck. It's not.
I think
not
his deck, as is, more competitive.
Yes. But the Real EV, even with the suggestions, because that's the way I wanted to make it possible for even newbies to send in their decks, they don't have to be perfect, right? If we can locked in into an awesome strategy and give good suggestions, that's enough for me to consider it being a great contender for deck of the episode. That's for everyone who's listening. Even if you're not an expert, even if you feel that you're not that good, still send on your deck list, because even if when they don't make any sense, with our suggestions we'll definitely take into consideration your deck. So the Real EV, you won deck of the episode with Noivern GX being that deck. This is basically a spiritual successor to Seismitoad, and that will bring a lot of hate from a lot of people. But it will also bring a lot of happiness to others. So congratulations to that. Now, we move on, because this episode has been too good. So we're going to move on for Pokemon. Who's That Pokemon? Pokemon 15 Questions, where you guys, or I, try to stump our co-host. So we'll be right back with that.
Pokemon!
And we are back to everyone's favorite part of the episode. It's Pokemon 15 Questions. Who's That Pokemon? Where we try to stump our co-host. Of course, our co-host this time is Sublime and D-Babs. So I got a special. Since you guys beat me in Game Corner and I have a grudge, I have a special one for you guys.
It must be Greninja.
I wouldn't go that way. Let's see exactly what we can, if I can stump you guys. I'm pretty sure I can't, but I will try. Now, you guys know the rules. Lower down your browsers. No internet, no Pokedexes, no questions related Pokedex or game editions such as Fire Red, if it's available in Fire Red, so forth. So every question has to be in-game. You can ask things like if this Pokemon comes from Kanto and stuff like that. Yes, of course, but you can't ask if it comes from a different, from a specific game. Now, with that being said, the orders are simple. Sublime goes first, followed by Dbabs. Going back to Sublime, you got 15 questions. One of those questions has to be the question asking whether it's that Pokemon. And if you get one, if you get it wrong, you lose. There's no second chance. So, make sure you know what you're asking at the end. With that being said, let's go ahead and start this. Sublime!
Alright, who is this Pokemon? Is this Pokemon part of an evolution line?
It is. Go for D-Dabs. D-Dabs! God!
Is this Pokemon TCG Stage 1?
No. Go for Sublime.
Is this Pokemon a basic Pokemon?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Go for all right. D-Babs.
Let's see. Is this Pokemon weak to grass?
Yes.
Okay, so now I need Sublime to help me figure out what that means.
Weak to grass. All right, so lucky for you, there's only three types weak to grass. Water,
that was a great guess.
Ground, and rock.
Okay, cool.
Okay, wow, that does good. All right, that narrowed it down a lot. Is this Pokemon a dual type?
No.
Go for mono type.
Wow.
All right.
Wow, okay. Is this Pokemon in a starter line?
No. Go for Sublime.
Not a starter line. All right. Is this Pokemon weak to water?
No.
It's a water type.
D-Babs.
So that it has to be a water type? Should it I ask if you're sure of it?
Well, because, okay, so it's weak to grass, right? There's only three types weak to grass.
Right.
Water, ground, and rock. Two of those types are weak to water. So by him saying it's not weak to water, it must be the water type.
Okay, cool. Wow, that narrows it down a ton.
No, it doesn't. Water is the biggest. Water has the most Pokemon of any type.
Would it help if I say whether or not, like, a gym leader has it or something?
Probably not.
What about, can you encounter them all by surfing, probably?
That, I don't know. That there's so many water types. Let's think of, okay, so we know it's a monotype. We know it's part of an evolution line. We don't know if what it evolves into is dual type.
Okay, I'll ask that.
Ask if any of them, its evolutions are dual types.
Right, yeah. Does it evolve at any point into a dual type?
No.
Okay, so it's all mono. That's mono water. That actually gives us a lot to work with already. So that includes, let's start listing things that are mono water that only evolve into mono water, because that is limited. We also already eliminated, thanks to your question about the starters, that means it can't be Squirtle or Totodile. Or Oshawott. That's like half of the starters. Good job. All right, so you have things like Psyduck. You have Finian. Goldeen. Mono water. Buizel. Weasel's mono water that can evolve.
Should we ask if it's like a fish or something?
That's usually a pretty good one at that point because it's amazing how many Pokemon are fish.
Right.
Whalmer also, especially since he's been playing Go recently. Haha. We're on to you. Is it my question?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
All right. Would this Pokemon be considered a fish?
It is not.
Not a fish.
That's 10 questions, by the way. I have 5 questions left.
Okay. I feel like we're doing okay.
You're doing amazingly, to be honest.
Okay, so we've got like Buizel.
Psyduck. I'm not sure if... Okay, just sure. Does Whalmer count as a fish in your opinion? That's not a question, but like, just for clarification. Because I've had multiple people say it differently, so like...
Right.
I want to say that I based that question based on what the actual version of the Pokemon is based on.
Oh, so and a whale is not a fish. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's think of all the Gorbis. What's Gorbis's pre-evolution called? Clamperl.
Clamperl.
That's
right.
A mono water that evolves into two mono waters, right?
Are there others that have split evolutions?
Not that I can think of at this point, although possibly. Although also we've done something from the Clamperl line before, so I don't know that he would go back to it. Although maybe he would. Maybe it's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Activated my trap card.
You went all blown traitor on us.
I did. I mean, it card game related. You should be thanking. Jeez, honestly, I'm sure there's more mono water types that I'm not thinking
of. Well, what
of.
Kind all of question could right I ask to narrow
is
down?
Is Psyduck, Buizel, and Clamperl.
I don't know. What is a Magikarp?
Magikarp evolves into a water flying, so it can't be Magikarp.
Oh, water flying. Okay, right.
Oh, Phoebus. Well, Phoebus is a fish, JK. A fish. No, it's not Phoebus. Phoebus.
A question.
You could ask if it evolves in with an item. Wait.
Okay.
Yeah. If it evolves using an item, that would cut out Clamperl and possibly some other things.
Does it evolve with an item? Well, does it evolve with an item?
No. So go for
okay.
Slime.
So it's not Clamperl. Okay. All I can think of right now is Psyduck
and Buizel.
I'm sure there are more.
Probably.
I can't think of any more, but I'm sure there are more.
Not sure if I can either. But I don't know the typings that well.
I mean, we're down to water, right? So you don't have to know typings per se. Just think of all the water types, of which there are way too many. Oh, Remoraid. No, Remoraid looks like a fish, doesn't it?
Yep.
Oh, well, you know what? How about this? Does Misty very notably have this Pokemon?
What was that? Sorry?
Does Misty have this Pokemon?
No.
Okay, so it's not Psyduck.
Yes, it could be Buizel.
You know, Ash has a Buizel. We could ask that.
Does Ash have other grass monos?
No, water monos, right?
Water monos, I mean, sure
he does. But he's also... We've eliminated a lot of them, right? We've got rid of Squirtle. We got rid of Oshawott.
No, those are starters, so...
Yeah, Froakie evolves into something that's dual type. He did not have...
What question are we on? Is this 12?
I think this is...
12, yes.
12, yeah, so we're doing
it. Yeah, let's do it. I'll ask. Okay, so I could ask the question about Ash... I don't know.
Oh, well, you know what? I just remembered Ash has Krabby as well, which evolves into a water type. Just
We could ask if it's a crustacean.
So what would it be? Question number 12. D-Babs.
What's that? I think I'll just ask the question anyway. Does Ash ever own this Pokemon?
That's a good question. I honestly think not, but I'm not too sure. Because I haven't been keeping track 100% with all the anime.
That's scary.
So I can tell you. As based on my general knowledge, no.
If you're wrong, we win by default. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, I think I'm not wrong, but I'm willing to take that bet.
Not Krabby,
okay,
not...
so that gets rid of Buizel and Krabby.
Right, so now we're screwed.
Clauncher?
Oh, right, yeah, could be.
Clauncher? That's honestly, at this point, that's all I can think of.
You could ask if it's a crustacean.
Is this a blue crustacean?
It is not.
I'm at a loss at this point.
What are we at? Question
14, guys, you have two questions left.
Water type, this is brutal.
What? I can't think of anything.
I told you guys I would definitely try to get you.
It's part of an evolution line that is only water, right? It doesn't evolve with an item. It's not a fish. Wait, Misty doesn't own it. Ash doesn't own it.
I have no clue to ask.
I think I've exhausted all of my ideas, to be honest. wait, could it still be Wilmer? Oh, I guess it could still technically be Wilmer, huh? Because we said that Wilmer wasn't a fish, right?
I'm guessing it's not.
Okay, yeah, all right. Is this Pokemon based on a whale?
Isn't it my question?
Whose turn is it? I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah. Is it my question?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Is this Pokemon based on a whale?
Yes.
Okay. It was because he was onto Pokemon Go. We were onto him all along. Haha. We've
followed your evil plan.
All right. Is it Wilmer?
Yes, it is. Congratulations on the 15 questions. I almost got you guys. I almost got you guys. That was a fantastic show of game for the Pokemon 15 questions. Yes, it is most definitely our boy Wilmer here. Wilmer, based on the moon description, says it shows off by spraying jets of seawater from the nostrils above its eyes. It eats a solid ton of wishy-washy every day, which is kind of horrifying.
There's enough of them.
There is enough of them. Well, guys, that brings this show to an end. Congratulations for winning Pokemon 15 Questions. So our boy D-Babs and Sublime, good going there. Congratulations. Now, with that being said, it means that it's time for the Rickamarole. You guys know what it is. Let me grab that information real quick while we're talking to you. I thought I had that, but I don't. But I have it right about now. So, guys, if you enjoy what you're listening to, please, listening to us is not the only way you can participate in Puckle. We have a slew amount of things you can do. If you enjoy what you're listening to, please follow us at Twitter at Puckle Podcast. On our Facebook, we have two groups. We have facebook.com/PuckoPodcast, which is our main podcast group in Facebook. Go ahead and join us there. But we also have facebook.com/PuckoTCG, which is our TCG-related group. We post there every day. The Really V makes a magnificent job to notify us of every new thing that happening in the Puckle. I'm sorry, in the Pokemon Beach and all things Pokemon TCG related. If you want to see our deck of the episode and you want to see the deck lists that are available just for fun so you can make your own, please go to our Reddit r/Puckle, where you can find all of our TCG deck of the episodes written there by our the Relay V. And if you have the time, go for Tumblr at our PokePodcast.tumblr.com. I do not know what goes on there because I've never actually been in the Tumblr section of Puckle. And then make sure to review us on iTunes. Now, I wanted to notify how important our iTunes review are, because we really do take very seriously what you guys review. If you review us with your legit suggestions and your legit problems, we will listen to you and make adjustments. So please, if you have opinions, please go ahead to our iTunes and let us know. If you can give us a 5-star because you like what you hear, please, that will also be greatly appreciated as well. Now, also, if you have the money and you are not gonna go on starving, please join our Patreon. Every single month, your money goes right back to the community. We have monthly shows where you can participate and grab on. We just recorded our Patreon episode today, Saturday, so it was a lot of fun. So if you want to go cash in on that and be able to participate in a Puckle podcast show, please go ahead and join us there. And finally, but certainly not least, if you want to be part of the active community that chats and trades and battle, join our Discord channel. The Puckle Discord channel is the place to be for any Pokemon fan. You can get any battle, any trade in either VGC or TCG, doesn't matter. If it's Pokemon related, 24 hours a day, you will find someone that loves and enjoys Pokemon just like you to participate in whatever you need in our Discord channel. So please join us. The link is always available in the description bar of every single one of our episodes. So please join us at our Discord channel. With that being said, thank you so much, Sublime, for being part of our show today.
No, thank you so much.
And D-Babs, you were amazing today, and I can't thank you enough for being here today. And congratulations officially for the TCG tournament winning of this year.
He's a winner.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on the podcast. It was a lot of fun, of course. I knew it would be. So thanks.
And that being said, you can basically hear the guitar going on in the background. It is closing time. So guys, catch your flip-flops. Catch everything. You know what it is. It's time to close. So with that, los amo. Have a good night.
Happy birthday, Really B.
Happy birthday, Really B. Oh, and listen to our episode of Game Corner where we beat Jashiro.
Let's go right on. I'm going to edit that out.
No, I'm keep not. That in. It's got D-bags.
Have a good night, guys.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.